Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Scope.
It's the only show that benefits mankind.
I'm your announcer, Tony Partington. Coming up on this edition of The Scope,
Adam barely makes it out of Orlando. We take a half-assed look back at 2008, and Jared is far too busy preparing for the New Year's Eve party to participate in this show.
And now, here are your hosts, Jared, Adam, and Shane.
Hello, hello. We are back with yet another episode of The Scope. It is 64. They say we shouldn't go on, but we do. This is our pre-holiday show. Everything starts to happen next weekend or this week, and then we push right into New Year's, and it's going to be very, very exciting for everyone involved.
Isn't it true that for some people who don't celebrate the Christmas and the New Year, that the holidays have already begun?
No, they may say that. Well,
but Shane, Adam, do you have any information on this subject? When does the Hanukkah start?
Oh, the Hanukkah. Mandy tells me it starts on the 21st.
It starts today.
Maybe I don't know.
One of your eight presents.
She was asking.
And where is it?
Oh, wait.
Nope, that's the wrong one.
Worst Jew ever.
There it is.
I'm not really sure when it starts this year. She asked me, and it's easy enough to find, but I've been lax and chain. So
you've turned your back on your religion.
Kwanzaa starts when?
Kwanzaa for me is all year round. I never stop celebrating Kwanzaa.
And what is the winter Kwanzaa, solstice? The celebration of
a celebration of lights. I don't know.
You know, we could get
mixed
very
all of them up.
We could get very racist there. And we're just going to let that one go. And
I don't know how that could have been racist.
No, I think
possibly
it could be
construed that way.
Possibly. Well, during the holiday season, everyone knows that it often gets cold and wintry and blustery. And here in the Twin Cities of Minneapolis, St. Paul, no exception to the rule.
Yes, the Twin Cities of Bemidji and Ely.
Exactly.
Right? No,
and we've been punished with cold weather. Jared not buying into it. I put stuff on my Facebook, my status, and Jared likes to write in and correct me all the time.
It has not been a cold winter. I mean, I've not been here. It's been below winter, so how would I know?
It's been below average. I've been, other than I think this weekend is the first weekend I'm really starting to feel it, having to go out and clear snow twice yesterday, and now we've got below zero temperatures for a high today. I'm jumping on the punishing bandwagon,
and we're probably 6-7 inches of snow above average right now for the month, and we're going to get some more and more and more and more. It does get very tiring, and I think we all have our own winter survival stories. Let's start with Adam. Everyone knows that he's a traveling fool, and he just made it here for the show as we're recording. Adam, please tell us your story.
Everyone knows I'm working on about an hour and 45 minutes of sleep in the last 2 days, so that's I'm going to be not so great today, I think.
Either quieter or angrier than ever.
I think I'm going to slur a lot. So it'll sound like I'm drunk, I think. Spent the week in Marco Island, Florida.
Beautiful, beautiful weather, I'm sure.
Yes, the highs were about 75 to 80 every day with blue skies, and it was great.
So, were you running around in your swim trunks all the time?
Yep. Spent lots of days
showing off that physique of yours.
Uh-huh. Went to the beach every day.
Blinding people with the pasty whiteness of it all.
Saw dolphins in a couple of days. Not so pasty white anymore. Still very pasty white, but a little bit less so.
Yeah. Very nice.
Exactly.
I'm just saying this.
Not quite Florida, but.
Anyway, we flew in and out of Orlando, which in hindsight made no sense. But we were doing that because it's cheaper. Orlando's the cheapest one to fly in and out of. But we used our frequent flyer miles, so it really made no difference. There's no point in doing that. We should have either gone to Tampa or Miami.
Did you have to when you were at Orlando? Did you go on that little space age tram that they have in between terminals? Because I had to go on that when I was there.
Yes, it's not space age. It uses wheels. There's tires on it.
It doesn't hover or anything.
No, are you saying space has no wheels?
It doesn't shoot laser beams.
No,
that's gay. It's not like maglev.
No,
it's not like a light cycle.
It's a car. There's a lot of airports that have a similar thing.
Yeah,
and all of them kind of hide the fact that they run on normal rubber tires and a normal drivetrain. They're just cars.
Are they pulled by a team of mules?
No,
no.
Then engine a V6.
Illegal immigrants actually from Cuba actually pull it.
No, not in Orlando. So we went back up to Orlando a day early, and we went to Universal Studios Islands of Adventure.
Woo!
Yeah.
Woo!
What do you do with the Islands of Adventure?
That's their roller coaster theme park.
Oh, okay. That'd be fun.
Roller coaster.
That would be fun.
And so.
Is that where they have the Hulk roller coaster?
That's where they have the Hulk roller coaster. And I'm a big fan of roller coasters. Let me tell you, that one just, all it does is beat the shit out of you. There's no real theme to it.
It just Hulk, hurts. Though. It doesn't Hulk. It's like getting a punch from the Hulk,
yes,
right?
Yes. It hurts. We went on it twice.
It hurts.
It is a fun ride. But. It's one of those where you're not scared at all the whole time. Instead, you're just kind of going for loops and loops, and that, it's cool. But like the second time I went on it, I already had a headache just from being dehydrated, I think, and I don't know, being crabby. Not being crabby. But
after, how do you ever be crabby after with the Mandy
second,
around?
No. After the second trip, like I've never experienced such pain in my life in terms of headaches.
Did you feel like after you were done with that ride, you just said to yourself, I'm out. I can't ride any more rides today? Because yeah, I feel that way
sometimes. That was the end of it. And it honestly made me feel really old because, most of my life I can go on roller coaster after roller coaster, the same one over and over and over again, you know, on days where if you go where there's like no line, you just jump right back in line.
Sure.
Hey, let's go again.
Yeah. This and the last time that I went to Valley Fair, have both been kind of similar where like about halfway through I'm like
you've turned the corner in life,
and I feel old, so
I know that
pretty
feeling.
Terrible.
I can't do spinny rides anymore.
Spinny rides have been out for me for years now. So what, how long do you have to wait to go on a Hulk ride in the middle of wintertime down there in Orlando?
It's funny, the whole week I kept forgetting it was December. Like I honestly, like I would forget, you know, we would be spending like 3 hours on the beach in 80 degree weather. And then I'd be like, I need to finish my Christmas shopping. Like it was just foreign to me that Hanukkah shopping.
How do people who live there full time even deal with that? I mean,
It's hilarious. That it's like this this weird culture of everyone wears shorts and sandals. Like even like the mayor and the city council people are always like, you know, even in their offices.
Super cash.
Can you get like an Armani suit with shorts?
That'd be nice.
With Gucci sandals.
There's nothing stopping you, I'm sure.
Flip flops.
Cut off Gucci.
Blue thongs. Yeah.
It's high fashion,
but so how long the wait is, it's nice. There's a screen, you know, as you're going into the line that tells you, and it's pretty accurate. That's one of the parks where you can buy the pass, you know, to kind of skip the line.
What does that cost?
It's different day to day. So the day that we went, it was $29 per person. So we decided to skip that because
I think that's class warfare, by the way.
It might be.
Yeah.
That's the second
lowest.
The rich
get richer.
It's $20 per person on the lowest day. Now, if you stay in one of the Universal Studios resorts, that's included in your ticket automatically.
I see.
And there's other ways that it's included. So if a lot of Florida residents get a huge discount on their annual passes, and those all come with it standard. So, it's a local slack job, it's a screw the tourists, which is fine. I completely agree with doing that if you're a local area. But it was the first time we went, there was a 40-minute wait for it, and that was a long wait. But here's the thing, there's only like five roller coasters there. And we only had from 9 until when our flight was supposed to be at 6, and so we kind of planned it out, and we were like, We could go on, you know, all five or six rides that we want to, and that's kind of fine. You know, we're waiting around, but it's just, you know, like they're all indoors. They're all the kinds where you kind of watch a movie or a cartoon.
Sure,
like,
they're entertaining you.
Yeah, like why you're going on the ride. You know, you're you know, either Bruce Banner or whatever. So it's not that bad.
So how much did it cost to get in?
$73.
So you were paying pretty much $10
per
a ride.
Yes. And you know, in hindsight, especially the way I felt at the end of the day, we kind of agreed that it was a super fun day, but not really worth it. What would be way more worth it is if you have 2 days to do both parks, because the normal Universal Studios and Islands of Adventure together as a 2-day pass, I think it was like something like $103.
Gotcha.
Yeah, so that's a better deal.
Yeah. And so that's kind of what we decided. If or when we ever go back, we'll make time to be able to do both.
And
then my flight got canceled last night.
So where'd you stay?
In the airport.
Ugh.
Yeah. They don't, you know, if it's weather related, it wasn't really weather related either. It was really annoying. So our flight was supposed to be 6:05, then it got delayed till 7, then 7:30. You know how that goes.
Yeah.
And then eventually, all of a sudden at 7:30, the plane, you know, that it arrives. at like 7:15. So we're like, sweet.
You're excited. Yeah,
the 7:30 time's gonna hold. And then all of a sudden we're standing there, and like I tell Mandy, I'm like, let's you know stand up by the thing because there's gonna be a rush of people and it's gonna be annoying. So I'm standing there. Then all of a sudden the 7:30 goes away and it changes to 9:43. And I'm like, oh, that's not a good sign. And then the ladies you know that are at the ticket counter kind of scrambling because they don't know. Like all of a sudden they turn around and the times change. They're not
what?
In control of it. Yeah. So a couple minutes go by. They finally announce that the flight's been canceled for the night, delayed till tomorrow morning at 6:30 because of crew time hours. You know, because in a day or a week or in a month, pilots and crew members are only allowed a specific number of hours in the air.
Mm-hmm.
And the entire crew had already hit that peak for, I don't know if it was for the day or for the week or the month. They have different whatever levels, but they had hit it already, so they couldn't, you know. And
but wouldn't they have known that already?
That's the annoying part.
I'm thinking that they probably were stuck in the air for extra time with delays and everything, so that kind of amounted
to
that.
Coming
Jared,
in.
You're always siding with the airlines.
I'm just saying. I work in an industry where there's time restrictions as well, so you never know.
I just assume
somebody's been bought and paid for.
That coming in, they knew it. I mean, I don't know. And then the 9:43 time, maybe they thought they would get a different crew, but There was no one available. So first time I've ever had to do that in my life. We stayed in the airport itself just because, you know, we were like I price-lined, you know, hotels in the area. I did $40 because William Shatner says to go real cheap.
He does. He says, now you're negotiating.
Lowballing.
And none of them. And then I didn't get any matches with that. And I was thinking.
He gets a response. Ha ha. No way.
Well, I was thinking like. Have you seen
it snowing?
You can't pick your hotel, so I was worried that it would be one without a shuttle.
Yeah.
So then I'd be paying $20 each way for a cab, and I was just like...
So you take 40, and then you add another 20 each way, Jared. That's 20 times 2, okay. Another 40, so then that gets you carry the one, and you get $80
now
for it, right?
Now $900.
$900.
Well, the whole thing about the trip is that...
I can see why you skipped it.
Our flights were free, you know, because we do frequent flyer miles. Our stay in Orlando is free because I used my Hilton points.
Yep. So that you let lots of money for booze.
We stayed in Marco for free because it was Mandy's uncle's house.
Mm-hmm.
So, then the only things we were spending money on were fun things. Food and
lots of shrimp cocktails.
Sex toys, indeed.
Whatever it took.
sounds like a party.
It does.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, hey.
Couple of Cuban hookers, right?
So did you fall asleep at the airport? Were you scared for your life?
I couldn't.
Were there
I
a
tried.
Lot of people sleeping there?
Yeah, but I mean, we were all spread out.
Was dinner corn nuts and a warm Mountain Dew?
Chick-fil-A stand, perhaps?
If you had read my Twitter.
No.
I missed that.
Mandy and I were bar hopping in the airport. We went.
Do bars stay open all night there?
No. But so
everything
closes down. Yeah, but I mean, it... It was 8 when, you know, they canceled the flight and everything. So everything was open until 11 or 11:30 or something. So we went from Chili's to Fox Sports Cafe. I don't know. And then we tried to go to Macaroni Grill, but they...
I can't remember the Fox Sports.
They closed up before we could get in. So we got a decent amount of drinking in. And then we crashed. I was nice. I talked to the lady that, you know, everyone had been screaming at about, you know, what they're supposed to do. And it's like it's her fault.
Yeah.
So I waited for the line to go away. And I was like, I was just asking her about our tickets, if we need to get new boarding passes or anything. And I was like, do you know anywhere nice in the tucked away? And she was like,
a little romantic nook.
Right. She was like, the whole rental car floor is a better place to stay than over here, just because it's quieter. They actually dim the lights right around midnight. The lights turn off.
Put out candles.
So, yeah. So Mandy got, I don't know, Mandy probably got 3 or 4 hours of terrible sleep. I couldn't sleep at all. I just couldn't. So
the Orlando hobos, you were scared they were going to shuffle through your things.
Yeah, it's a nice place if you are homeless. By the way, that's probably the best place to sleep
if you can get away with it. We've all seen the Tom Hanks movie.
Awesome.
See how that works. So you got on your flight at 6:30. There was no delays.
No, not this morning.
And then they just flew you right in, and a lot of grouchy people, I would imagine, on the flight.
I guess,
or maybe just happy to get home.
We were so annoyed last night at the airport because there are these two moms, and it's like, you know, I get it, and you know, you can yell at me for not, you know, having sympathy for these people because I don't have to deal with it myself, and that's fine. But it's like you know, these moms that just like the ones that like when their kid's doing something bad, like grabbing them by the arm and just like yanking the shit out of them and,
yep.
and pulling them away. It just frustrates the hell out of me. It's like, what, you know, like if that's how you act in the airport.
Yeah. Imagine
like,
what you're doing.
Yeah, what do you do at home? Yeah. And then one mom was really pissed. She had like five kids and she's like, I don't know what the fuck we're going to do now. And I was like,
explicit tag.
Yeah.
So it's default chain.
Oh, it's defaulted now. Everyone, you're safe. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. The language will not hurt you.
Yeah.
It can't hurt you anymore. So,
I don't like those people, and I had to deal with them both last night during their frustration, and then this morning on the plane,
and then maybe during the show today as well. You'll get a little bit of that, a little bit of anger.
The only frustration I had was the morons parked on my street outside, which caused me to have to clear out not only my driveway but also the 10 feet in front of my driveway that constitutes the street.
That's a terrible situation, especially when the wind is blowing.
Yeah,
it's freezing. It's below zero. You're dealing with an additional 8 inches of snow out there. It's a bad day.
Yeah. Well, I hope they have fun getting out because I threw a little snow in there at their cars in protest.
Good for you.
I didn't outright bury them. I think that would have been poor form.
I think it might have been great form.
Well, but...
And my day was terrible, Adam, because I went to try to start my snowblower, couldn't get it started, and then I yanked on the cord a little too hard and snapped the cord.
And what happened to your snowblower? Sorry. It's like a masturbation thing.
Yeah, I gotcha. Right. But, you know, I have this neighbor...
Should I play the crickets again?
Yeah. I got this neighbor guy who is kind of the, you know, the gadfly, if you will, of the
I don't know what that term
of the neighbor. He's just very chatty. He's talking to everyone, and he's also kind of an outdoorsy, very mechanical
Tim the tool man, Taylor.
Mechanically inclined guy. You know, he sort of knows everybody's business, and he came over and was like, "Well, you know, I got a trailer. We can bring that up to the local hardware store. We can get this fixed for you." And I said, "You know, I'm not really that good with machines." And before I could finish the sentence, he's like, "Oh, I know that. I can tell just by looking at you." And he said it like three times. Oh yeah, I know. So I actually have a heater in my garage. The people that used to live there before had this installed heater, and so he's like, "We got to get that thing started." So last night, in the middle of the evening, he's over there with the torch, and he's got the gas lines cleared, and he's helped me get this thing started. So now I actually have a heated garage.
Oh, nice!
But I don't have a working snowblower.
Well, so, turn the heated garage on like to full.
Yep.
Open up the door, let it all melt.
That's exactly it.
Powerful. That's what I would do.
So hopefully next week, this neighbor who probably doesn't even know my name would be my guess. I just found out that it was Todd. His name is Todd.
Sure.
That he is going to help me get my vehicle or my snowblower to the hardware store and hopefully get it fixed cheaply and affordably. So I think winter's been hard on us all.
And it's just, winter just started today.
Yeah, today is winter.
The official first day of winter if you're going by astronomical data.
Exactly. And when, you know, winter has actually impacted Geology. This show more than we know. Al was supposed to be here talking about the best of 2008 in terms of music.
He's actually, he built an igloo in his yard and he's holed up there.
Exactly. He got stuck in traffic and black ice and that sort of thing. And Molly was going to try to be here. One of our favorite guests. People love her. She's a lady. And
instead, she's on a rocket into space.
Exactly.
Right?
She's rocketing into space and she's working a second job to pay for
her space travel.
All of her space travel. So listen, guys, we want to try to get Molly on the phone. We've got four.
I think we're going to fail, but
we've got 4 minutes we're going to try, so we're going to take a break. We'll be back with 2008 Year in Review and maybe Molly on the phone. And if not, we'll call up Al, get him on the phone. So thanks for listening. Back in a sec.
Once again, it's time for another edition of the Scope Male Genitalia Euphemism of the Day. Today's euphemism is clam hammer. That was the Scope Male Genitalia Euphemism of the Day. Now, back to the show.
Hey, everybody, we're back with the 2008 Year in Review. I've got Molly on the phone. Molly, can you hear us?
I can hear you.
Mike appears to not be on.
Can you hear me?
We're trying to get your mic on the phone, Molly.
Okay.
Jared's pushing some buttons. Nothing yet? Say something, Molly.
What do you want me to say?
Talk about how great your day is going.
My day is going fantastic.
You're working hard, selling a lot of books.
Yes.
And you
gift cards. Get your gift cards.
And we had a big blizzard yesterday, killing all of the holiday sales. But today, a different story.
I know it's too cold out.
Too cold. People aren't coming. So, guess no one's getting Christmas presents.
Exactly.
Well, hey, listen, we have got a little bit of time for you before you go on your break. Tell us what you're thinking about for the movies of 2008.
What?
Because they're not out here in Minnesota yet. But so far, my favorite has been Slumdog Millionaire.
Slumdog Millionaire. That is the Danny Boyle optimistic, happy movie. Give us a plot synopsis of that film.
Well, it's about an Indian boy who grows up in the slums, and he goes on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire there to
dot,
kind of
dot, not feather, by the way.
Find his love. And they don't want to stay anymore, except they think he's a cheater, and the whole movie is showing you kind of how he gets his answers.
When does he get infected by the virus that makes him kill people?
Well, you know, right away in the beginning, but you don't know it until the end.
Is he a zombie or not, or is he just an infected? That's the big debate we have.
I don't know. I'm not going to spill the beans for you.
When does he get hooked on heroin and then sees babies crawling on the ceiling?
Let's just have more Danny Boyle inside references.
It's so good. It's so good. I was watching it, and we just, even though there are parts that aren't necessarily happy by any means whatsoever, and there's lots of garbage and major slums and everything, we just smiled at each other through the whole thing.
Oh, isn't that quaint? That's very cute and quaint. But that's a movie that I want to see. I'm not sure if anybody here feels that way, but I'm very excited about that one. And
I recommend it to everyone. I just thought it was fantastic.
And who put out the best acting performance so far this year that you've seen in any movie? Go ahead.
Actor?
Anyone. Actor.
Could judge. Be an animal. We don't care.
If that...
Anyone?
That dog from the Jennifer Aniston movie, if that qualifies, go ahead.
Oh, gosh. I really don't know, but I tell you, I thought... I really did think Anne Hathaway was fantastic in Rachel Getting Married.
What about that Michelle Williams performance in that movie coming out?
I haven't seen it.
What's it called? Lucy and something?
Lucy and something about her and her dog.
Is it actually called Lucy and something?
No, it's Lucy and someone's name. I don't think it's getting much buzz.
Yeah, I've heard that she's been getting good buzz for her performance. I'm not sure about the movie itself.
Not big enough buzz to matter. With anything else.
Is that what your Hollywood insiders are telling you?
That's what Entertainment Weekly is telling her.
Entertainment Weekly loved her performance.
The big females are
Kathy Bates.
Kate Winslet,
Nell Carter. She's a big
Blanchett,
one.
The entire cast of 227.
Jack Kay.
Maybe.
What's her name? Kristen Scott Thomas.
Oh, yes.
And Angelina Jolie. And those are all the women right now.
And
how about the whole cast of the women?
Sorry. Actually, even though it had like a 16 on Metacritic, I actually enjoyed. The whole cast of Doubt, don't forget them.
And give us a breakthrough male performance for the year.
Breakthrough male
A breakthrough performance.
Breakthrough.
You think about this stuff.
Jason Segel.
What did you say?
Jason Segel.
Jason, don't you just love him?
Yes.
I do.
Yes. Okay. Yes. We'll just go with him. We'll just see him because I can't think because I wasn't prepared for breakthrough.
And I know this came out last year, but both Jared and I are saying Jack Nicholson for the bucket list. We just saw it last night, and it was so good it carries into 2008.
It's such a huge performance.
Oh, no, Shane. That's just so wrong. It's just even wrong to go there.
It's very wrong. Okay, before we let you go, what was your favorite television show of the year?
Actually, the one that I was introduced to that I thoroughly loved this year was Damages.
Damages. Now, that stars Glenn Close. Am I correct in saying that?
Yes.
This is a cable show?
Ted Danson, Tate Donovan, and then I can never pronounce his name, but he won the Emmy, and I thought he was the best in the whole show.
Gorick.
Yes, that
guy. I can't pronounce it. But he's just fantastic. He's been on a ton of stuff lately, too, because he was in True Blood and House and...
The Wire, Oz.
I was watching. Yeah.
He was in my Christmas pageant.
Damages. There's tons of other shows that I love, obviously, but
Damages is number one.
That was the new one that I really, really enjoyed.
So you're telling me that Damages is better than The Ghost Whisperer?
Well, the Ghost Whisperer does have its positives.
Yeah, like two giant breasts. That's it.
Go-to joke there for
the Ghost
Whisperer. Thank you.
I couldn't think of any other show.
Okay. All right, thanks for calling.
Okay, Molly, we'll talk to you later.
All right, bye.
Arrivederci. There we go, everybody. That was technology on the fly.
Yes.
Loved it. So Molly going with Slumdog Millionaire and Damages. Let's talk to Adam right now about what he thinks about movies this year. I didn't see very many, so it's pretty hard for me.
You never see any. So
no.
I don't even know why you're on this pop culture podcast.
Last year I saw almost every Oscar pick for movie. This year, not so good. But
there haven't been any Oscar picks for movies.
Well, you know what I mean.
I thought you saw them after.
I think I did see it after they were picked. So
well,
maybe
you still will this year.
Yeah, I probably will do that.
All right.
So so do you have any themes you want to talk about for movies, or do you want me to start talking about
Themes for movies. Yeah, well, I mean,
what happened
my
this
themes
year?
From,
what?
Okay, so
I'm
like,
always a fan of the John Williams themes.
Stop it, Jared.
Oh. Looking at the 2008 year in review on Entertainment Weekly.
Yeah, it was a great, it was a good one, by the way.
Yeah.
I think they did a good job.
Well,
this year.
The theme is that most
I didn't get
like,
that one.
Six of the 10 movies are not available for us to see yet.
I always hate that. I hate that.
I'm really looking forward to The Wrestler. Like, really, really, really
getting
strongly,
great buzz, isn't
yes,
it?
Now, let me ask you this real quick before we go any further. Is it because Hollywood releases the films, the what they are supposedly the great films, late in the year, or is it just that we only focus on it in the last few months of the year?
Which part? What do you mean?
For great films. I mean, it always seems like all the great films are stacked at the end of the year, and you can't actually see them in 2008 because they're in limited release.
Oh, I mean,
Hollywood bottom loads them just because it's the proximity to the Oscars.
Yeah, but I'm wondering, are those truly great films, or are we just kind of programmed to think that they're great films?
I agree that I think a lot of the movies at the first half of the year get forgotten. I think Children of Men in 2006 was
shafted.
I thought it was, I guess, well, it technically came out Christmas 2006, which is a terrible release time for that.
Yeah.
The optimistic
happy
time.
Film.
Yeah.
Right. So, so I guess that's not a good example whatsoever.
Yeah, you lose.
Yeah. But I mean, I think I remember people talking about Sweeney Todd last year because that came out the first half of the year.
Duh.
And I never saw it, so but I think I remember people talking about how, like,
I don't get Sweeney Todd, and I don't get why people like it.
It's like Sonic Youth. Yeah,
exactly.
So I do think that there's a certain level of the stuff at the end of the year, just because it's recent, sticks out in our minds more. I mean, if you look at the IMDb top 100 movies of all time, it's ridiculous how many of them are like from the last 10 years.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It's like, there's no way that, you know, that's really how it
I
should
see.
Be.
All right. I didn't mean to derail you in your thing there.
But that's the only theme I can think of that I haven't seen, you know, and like if you look at, you know, most critics' top 10 lists, it's, you know, the same four or five movies that we've probably seen that came out over the summer or spring, and then the same six or so movies that none of us have seen yet, you know, plus or minus two or three.
Sure.
So everyone's got WALL-E, everyone's got The Dark Knight, and then, you know, there's a few more here and there. Most of them have Slumdog Millionaire. Most of them have The Wrestler.
Wrestler pops up.
You know, most of the big ones I saw, and I like them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, my pick, I wanted to be as obscure as I could be with a what I thought was a popular movie that I thoroughly enjoyed. So I don't know if we're telling our picks already.
It doesn't matter. We're sort of free for them.
We don't really have picks, do we? Because I don't have picks.
Nah, okay. If you have picks, you can say them. If you don't, hey,
I don't think I do.
My favorite movie, I don't think it's the best movie, but my favorite movie of the year was Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
Yep.
I thought just in every way that was a fantastic movie, and the whole mythos of Jason Segel, who I thoroughly enjoy as a person and on How I Met Your Mother, and that he wants to do like Muppet movies.
Mm-hmm. He's a bizarre creature,
yes.
Isn't he?
And, you know, starting from Freaks and Geeks and then his few spots on Undeclared, and just everything, you know, in that whole
he's everything that you would be if you were an actor.
Yes, that's an excellent way
all
of putting
right.
it.
Thank you.
Awesome.
Well, I will be watching that movie for the first time probably tonight.
Well,
I have the DVD
good.
At my house.
You will like it. I guarantee you.
I'm very excited about it. So let's get this off the table once and for all.
Yeah.
Which is the better superhero movie, Iron Man or The Dark Knight? We've had a year to digest it, or 6 months.
Yeah.
All the critics obviously are saying The Dark Knight is the better movie, but is that the case, Jared?
I stand by. Iron Man is better, in my opinion.
What makes you say it's a better movie?
Well, if it's a better superhero film, because I don't feel like... The Dark Knight doesn't feel like a superhero film.
Sure.
It feels like this dark psychological drama.
But, I mean, isn't that what Batman comic books are?
I don't know, I guess. I haven't read them in a long time, so I don't really know how they are.
I would agree, though. I would agree that in what you deem a superhero movie. Iron Man was the only superhero movie. I don't think that The Dark Knight was a superhero
movie. I just felt like from Iron Man from beginning,
comic book movie.
From
How
beginning
about that?
From sure. comic book movie. Okay. Okay. From beginning to end, Iron Man for me, every scene had something enjoyable in it.
Hit the right notes.
Yeah, exactly.
Even the villain, do you find, or the lack of villain in this?
I guess you got me there a little bit. The villain was just okay. But I don't know. But Iron Man was fighting him, so that was cool.
Yep.
The Dark Knight, I felt like when any scenes with the Joker were fantastic, and everything else was just kind of eh.
Yeah, I thought it was long. I think if I wanted to say which one was a better movie, better experience overall, I would say The Dark Knight. But, I mean, there's just so much else that goes into it, you know, from what's his name dying to just, you know, that take on the Joker. And then, you know, you kind of look at it with, you know, the first movie, you know, along with it.
Yeah,
because I hate the Spider. I don't hate them. I really don't like the Spider-Man or X-Men movies whatsoever. I feel they're like... They're just silly. I felt that Iron Man did a much better job of taking a Marvel superhero and not making it this kind of just like almost half whimsical tale. You know, where it was at least there's at least a little bit of seriousness on it. I don't know if Shane, if you've read the Entertainment Weekly take on what the blockbusters this year had in common, but like it talked about how like they were smart and they made you think, you know, Wally. Is, you know, about consumerism,
sure.
Postmodern consumerism, and then the Iron Man's about the military industrial complex. And it's like, I get it. They are. I'm not saying they're not, but it's like, let's not really
give it too much credit.
Right. Our popcorn flicks that much weight. Yeah. I don't think Jon Favreau, you know, really intended it to be this serious look at it. And I don't think that.
It's a nice coinkydink that it sort of ties in. And hey, it's relevant in that sense, but it's not the backbone of the movie.
Right.
Iron Man is the backbone of the movie.
I don't know. For me, it comes down to which one did I buy on DVD.
And then Hancock
Iron Man
was obviously.
I got them both, so I don't know.
I didn't buy Dark Knight.
And I got them both on Blu-ray, so I don't really know what to say. I have a hard time picking between them. You know, I guess I'd have to watch them again. I like them for different reasons. I like the command of Robert Downey Jr. in Iron Man. I mean, he just owned the movie. He owned the character. He's the best, he's the best actor to ever take on a character and really nail it. Christian Bale, always a little bit dark and brooding, and
I kind of don't like. I love Christian Bale as that character, but I don't really like Batman as a character because all he does is be really gruff.
Yeah.
And growl.
I hated his voice he assumed in that movie for Batman. I didn't like it.
Whereas
it seemed jokey.
Whereas Iron Man. Robert Downey Jr. He's the perfect person to play that.
Yeah,
because it's like
there's more to do with it though too. You know, he's sort of that.
He's an
that
asshole drunk.
That drunken millionaire who's very confident and cocky.
Right.
Gets his way.
It's way more fun.
Yeah, he's a lot more fun. There we go.
One more time.
Just like David Lee. So, guys,
no conclusion there, I guess.
No, there really isn't a conclusion. So
we're lucky enough to have both, I guess.
Yeah, I think we are lucky to have two great superhero / comic book movies
this summer. Yes, when next year we'll have 2012 and Transformers 2.
So yeah, let's talk about what we're looking forward
G.I.
to.
Is that coming up?
Let's talk about what we're looking forward to next year for movies. This is kind of a look into the future. Anything.
I'm looking forward to seeing those movies that are going to win Oscars that I won't be able to see.
Forward to, in terms of movies that sort of deal with the stuff that we like here in pop culture. I'm looking forward to Watchmen. I think Watchmen's going to be fascinating. I'm looking forward to Star Trek. I think Star Trek will be polarizing movie, but I'm excited to see it.
It's going to cause a lot of ruckus out there.
You know what?
I'm excited to see it, though.
I think if people realize how incredibly mediocre most of the Star Trek movies actually are, you can't really be bad when you're doing a Star Trek movie at this point. You know, if the playing field is what's already existing out there, and
here's
there's two good Star Trek movies. That's my opinion.
No, there's more than that. But so the franchise is dead. I mean, what do you do at this point?
Right,
you got to do something, and it's
try something new. I mean, you can debate, you can argue that maybe you shouldn't reboot the franchise by making kind of an alternate history for such beloved characters, but. I don't know.
The average person isn't going to care about that.
No,
they're going to know that Kirk and Spock are in it, and they'll go along for the
ride. I think it's a genuinely smart way to go about it, considering that the fan base for the originals will... I don't want to take a Transformers take on it, but they'll still go see it.
Mm-hmm.
It almost is Transformers now that I think
really
about it.
It really is.
Which I hadn't even...
With hopefully a better creative team.
Yeah, it's not Transformers. It's
although the same script writers.
It's different. Transformers only had a hodgepodge of source material to go from, whether it was a cartoon or a comic
it's not
book.
As much as
Star Trek has a ingrained.
I understand
fan
that.
Base.
I'm
it's
talking
not
about.
Quite the same.
I'm talking about how we're taking it from, you know, something that existed and was beloved by a group of people and then changing it. Whereas, because with Transformers, which I grew up really enjoying, I was kind of like, I hope they don't fuck it up. Whereas with Star Trek, I liked Next Generation. That's the only one. I never liked any of the movies. I hated the original series because it was always on Nick at Night and I was just tired of seeing that. And then the cartoon was terrible too. So I have no problem with them completely fucking with it.
I say go for it. The time has come.
By the way, let's give Transformers credits. 18 months later, we're still talking about it.
I know. So we've got the movies we were looking forward to seeing. Oh, the other movie I'm looking forward to personally is The Road. It's based on
Cormac McCarthy.
Yes. It's a very grim. Idea. It's a grim tale about some sort of apocalyptic event that happens in America, and a father and son have to walk from the north to the south, and he's trying to save his son. And the world is very, very bleak. I think it stars Viggo Mortensen and produced by Tom Hanks's production company. And the book is just very grim from what I understand, and I'm sure the movie will follow that as well. And they were debating whether they should release that this year or next year, but I guess it got pushed to next year. So that's the other movie I'm looking forward to. But let's talk about the movies that we're worried about. I mean, we've talked a little bit about them.
Yeah.
On my list, I've got Transformers 2 and G.I. Joe talking about.
Are we worried about Transformers 2, or are we just assuming that's going to be crap?
Well, I mean,
because I'm not really worried about it,
honestly. Assumption is it's going to be crap.
But I'm not worried about it.
Are you going to see Transformers 2, Jared?
I got to admit, I'm sort of curious. Now, see, and I didn't hate the first Transformers
as Jared
much
was
as
the
most
one that
people.
Liked it more than anyone, which is a relative term.
But. Yeah. I didn't love it. I didn't like it.
Adam hated it. Will you see Transformers 2?
I mean, we'll probably do a thing for it. So.
I'm not sure if we will.
I'm not sure if I want to stir that kettle again.
Yeah,
I do.
To just make up a new
metaphor.
Let's
let those beans simmer.
All right.
And then we've got G.I. Joe, which is kind of our modern-day take on the new Transformers.
Boy. Then we have to do it,
this one hits,
to do it for that one.
And G.I. Joe hits close to home.
This one
for
hits
me.
Right in the nads. Because
so that one I think we almost have to do a thing for.
I was a bigger G.I. Joe fan than Transformers
fan. As was I.
I'm concerned about it, but I'm also old enough to realize that life goes on and it doesn't ruin my world.
I guess I was lucky that I had to deal with all this back when Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the movie, came out.
Yeah.
And I had to deal with them.
I thought that was a good movie, though. The first one
was great.
Oh, well, I'm kidding, but yes, they were until...
Where's my Criterion Edition?
Until Vanilla Ice got involved.
Yeah, and then it went all in the crapper where they couldn't actually use their weapons in the second one.
Yeah.
That was sad.
Go, Ninja. Go, Ninja. Go. Go.
So, yeah, we've got our movies, but what about TV? Let's keep pushing along. I don't think anybody has
what else comes out next year that to be worried about? I don't even know what's coming out.
Yeah, I don't know.
For movies?
I mean, a lot of people are worried about The Watchmen.
That's a huge worry, but you know, everything I've seen from it, I'm interested by it. I don't really know what to say. You know, I'm not one of those purists that, you know, you have to follow it panel by panel.
No giant squid chain.
I don't even remember the giant squid in the graphic novel, if you want to know the truth.
I don't
either.
Cthulhu reference?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. See, I can repeat my sound bit.
Yeah.
So what's the overriding theme for television this year? What?
Apathy.
Yeah, I think apathy is in that spurt that came out of the strike, the writer's strike,
yep.
Which...
You mean apathy from us or in the shows?
I think apathy from
viewers.
General TV audience. I think in, to some extent, what they... feared what happened did happen. People found other things to do, and they didn't come back to TV.
Do we agree with Entertainment Weekly saying that the second golden age of television is over now?
Well, it could be.
Sure.
I don't know if I don't. Golden age is a little high platitude.
Silver age.
I like 9 shows. I think total throughout an entire 12 month calendar. Yeah.
A good time in television has kind of ended. But you know, you think about what happened in 2007 with all these new shows. You've got pushing Daisies. Yep. You've got Chuck, you've got a bunch. Life, right? That's a show that came out that year.
That is a show, yes.
And a serial, and a game, and a board game.
Yeah, it's multifaceted. I don't know if they're all the same thing.
And also, when you append Savers, it's a delicious candy.
Very good. I don't know what to say. Did we stop recording?
No, we're still going. All of this is saved. It's just the good stuff that's gone.
But yeah, I feel like that apathy is kind of the key word of the day. I don't know if that comes out of just... You know, poor television production. You know, we come back in 2008 and things just weren't as good, or we were not as interested. But, you know, like Pushing Daisies, a show I loved last year, it just totally bombed for me. Heroes really went in the toilet.
Well, but, okay. A lot of shows have trouble in their second season because they suddenly try to get their plots aren't as simple as maybe they are in the first season. You want growth, but yep.
I felt that I felt Pushing Daisies. Yeah. It was exactly the same show, and I got to the point with it where I was just like, I don't. They're okay. They can't touch. And yeah, that's going
to
be it.
That's kind of where I was too. Mm-hmm. But and it's like, oh, now we need to solve the case of the week.
You bring up Pushing Daisies and Heroes one after another. Is it a good thing that it's canceled now that Brian Fuller will be back writing for Heroes?
Maybe, but I think Heroes might be done.
You mean for NBC it's done for us?
I think for both. I think that NBC will give it another year, but I think that Heroes probably won't recapture any of that magic they had in the first season, which I think we all agree was a little overblown.
Yeah.
You know, it was good.
You go back now, and I'm sure some of those episodes aren't nearly as entertaining. Yeah. And we all can agree that the season ended terribly.
Everybody goes back to Heroes having one good episode in the first season.
Yeah.
That was the Rim Horn Glasses guy's origin episode.
Company Man.
Yeah, that was the great episode. And there were other good moments. Like I think the pilot was good. The first couple episodes were good because it was establishing
the show was full of promise initially. Yep. And it was like, oh, this is a great world of Heroes. I don't know. I think about this current season, and I stopped watching months ago. But then you still see the teasers because I watch Chuck, and you get like, oh, now this week they lose their powers. I'm like, well, that's fucking pointless.
I think
now it's like every other boring show.
I think one of the main things that they did wrong was completely ruin the character of Siler, who was this really nasty villain. And then they kind of messed with him in the second season. And then in the third season, they made him good. I don't know if he still is good.
Well, I'll just ruin it for everybody. He's not good anymore.
Okay.
It was an arc. I understand. Yeah. I still watch it. And I realize it's not a good show. It's Smallville for me, where it's so overdramatic. Like, everyone's like, I realize that they're superheroes or whatever. And they can have all these great powers and blah, blah, blah. But the first season for it was, I think, better also because it was way more lighthearted. I hated Hero that episode, that season, because he was like such a fucking douchebag goof. Mm-hmm. But people loved him for whatever reason. So
I kind of
enjoyed him, but
okay. To me, I just thought it was just overly silly what he was doing. But at least there was like not only him, but there was this levity to the show where it wasn't, you know,
beyond the brains being chopped out of people's heads,
right?
That sort of grossness. But
there was kind of there was discovery. Oh my god, I've got powers. This is cool.
Yeah,
and it felt like everyone was kind of converging on a similar place and time where everything
there are
was coming
still
together.
People on that show that I've not met.
Yeah,
that is just ridiculous.
You can't do that.
3 years into a show. You know, I mean, all the things that I've read about what they're going to do to the show, I think make sense, you know, trying to simplify. Yeah, but like, yeah, try to make things more straightforward and have maybe not 15 plot points mm-hmm. going in throughout. Like, the transitions when you're watching that show are so stark. Like, they'll show a character doing something for five lines and then black and then something else going on. And it's like, well, what was the point? Like, so I really think that they could make it a better show. I'll keep watching it because I'm dumb and there's not that much good stuff on TV. But
so speaking of good stuff, what topped the television list for you guys this year? We got Damages from Molly. What was one of what are some of your favorite shows? What did it well, Jared? Anything?
I have three shows and they're all on NBC that I really enjoy.
Isn't that
enjoy.
Strange? We hammer NBC, but yeah.
Last place.
Chuck, 30 Rock, and The Office. And then also I have to give nods to Daily Show and Colbert because with an election going on, they were in just top form, and it was pretty much appointment television whenever they were on.
Yeah, it was.
Even though I watched it the next day.
That's the first time that I watched.
My TiVo got the appointment, though.
I started watching Colbert and Daily Show regularly, you know, a couple months before the election, and it was... It added a whole new level of what was going on, and I appreciated that. It was a lot of fun, and it makes me appreciate what they do in their jobs because it's very, very difficult to do that.
They're much better when they're scripted and taped.
Yeah,
and can edit because their live election coverage was. Eh.
Yeah, that show that was terrible. By the way, I didn't find it funny at all.
No.
What about you, Adam?
My list is essentially exactly the same. Chuck. You know, a lot of people are, I don't know what they're saying. I think Chuck's way better this year. We kind of talked about that when we had
it sort of found its stride.
Yeah, the other podcast kids on, we talked about that briefly, where I think it's way better this year.
And Chuck isn't stumbling around as much. He's actually contributing mm-hmm. valuably to the papers.
They're not so bogged down in his relationship with Sarah.
I think they are. I think they are, and it's not like a Jerry Bruckheimer kind of situation where it's like eye-rolling terrible.
It's not heavy. That's what I'm saying. Okay. I mean, it's there.
There's the tension that's there.
Yeah, but it's at some point they're going to have to do something with that.
Yeah.
But But I like what they do. I like where it's at right now, and they can go along without having to make these huge advancements, which always ruin the show. Have you both
seen the most recent episode?
I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, okay. So. Well, I can't really talk about
right.
that. Then.
Okay, the end. Yeah. The only show that's been on that I would add to that list we talked about earlier already, kind of when Molly was on the phone, but How I Met Your Mother.
Sure.
Is especially the last kind of month or so where a lot of the other shows have been either on hiatus for a week here or there, or like The Office. I like The Office because of how awkward and sad some of the episodes are. I get, like, as a sitcom, that's not actually a sitcom, I think, a lot mm-hmm. of episodes, and I like that about it. But the last few just seemed off, especially the Christmas one was just weird. Whereas How I Met Your Mother this season,
it's been great.
It's been the best 30-minute. It's been the best sitcom on network television so far this year. It's been just perfect. And So one of my favorite things about Arrested Development was callbacks, mm-hmm. where by the third episode or third season, where no one else, you couldn't bring in new viewers, yeah. it was a complete
calling
meta
back stuff
show.
In the second episode.
Yeah, it was every joke was not a new joke. It was just a reference back to, episode mm-hmm. two, where if someone just started watching the show, they wouldn't get it. And you know what? That was like, that felt like special. Like,
you are
if
special,
if you'd watch it the whole time. How I Met Your Mother does a much better job at being open to new people, but still bringing in references back mm-hmm. from seasons ago.
The goat.
Ago.
They keep showing the goat, for
the
instance.
The goat. So. A couple episodes ago, they showed in the future Lily and Marshall at Marshall's parents' house or something.
Oh, you know, right. He's got a lightsaber covering the turkey.
Yeah, lightsaber cutting the turkey. And there's, if you remember, maybe it was season one or two where Lily visited Minnesota and they showed how they build this salad. And it's like pineapples,
right.
mayonnaise. Granola. It's like this giant thing of half mayonnaise, and she was like freaking out about it. That's on the table.
Wow, I didn't realize that.
Nice. And just things like that.
Did you realize that, or did you read that online?
Mandy noticed it, okay. and we rewound, and there it was. So
here's my thing about How I Met Your Mother. I think it is one of the best sitcoms on TV, but I still think the show is uneven. And especially the Ted stuff, I find...
Ted's a terrible character.
Yeah, it's...
I hate Ted.
Yeah. You know,
it's tough, though, because he's kind of the core of the show.
He's the core, and you want to find out what happens with him, but he's never... You know, it's just never that great with
him. I don't hate him.
I just think he's the weakest link in it. And I still think that because How I Met Your Mother can be such a brilliant show, the episodes that are just okay seem worse than probably what they are. Because the really good episodes... just knock it out of the park. You know, the Minnesota episode that they just had last week, which we all love, even though half the show was terrible with Ted's sister, it just, that part was so great mm-hmm. and so enjoyable that, you know,
the dark.
Yep. It's like these weird, bizarre things that they pull off.
Yeah. I can tell the good shows that I like is because I'm about 7 or 8 episodes behind on some of my other shows, and I'll probably just cut them loose. But, you know, Chuck, The Office, 30 Rock, and How I Met Your Mother, current, done, caught up.
Do
you guys watch Big Bang Theory, by the way? Because Carrie got me into that, and the show has a lot of charm. I can't tell you.
It's
a good show, and I think if you can get by the sort of standard sitcom trappings that it has, because it does, you know, where it feels like a play from time to time, the characters are so good that I think that you guys would enjoy it.
Yeah.
I really do.
Few times I've caught bits and pieces of it, it seemed kind of wooden and forced to me. And I just, but I don't
it's
know.
Better.
Maybe I need to give it a chance.
It's better, no.
I did want to say, I was trying to pick a best new show of the year mm-hmm. Kind of category. And
I've got two.
Okay. I'll let you get to it.
I'm not watching any new shows anymore.
So. That was my problem. I thought I wasn't. And then I realized there's two, because I'm watching Fringe also, but I'm not going to call it that. So yeah. Anyway, I'll get to
well,
that.
Well, we watch Fringe, but we're way behind. But the other two shows that I've
Fringe,
watched,
by the way, much it's getting much better.
I've heard in Entertainment Weekly put it in the top 10 shows of the year. So,
Was that top 10 news? No, you're right.
I think it was top 10 shows.
Yeah.
But the other shows that I watch, and I know I get a lot of heat on this. First of all, Life and Mars, I still think is a great show. It does what it needs
to
do.
You're getting heat.
The second show that I'm going to talk about.
Did you watch the BBC version?
No, I haven't seen it.
I didn't even know Life on Mars was still on.
Yeah, they've sort of went on a weird hiatus, but it's on. And then the other show that I like, you know, actually the reason why they're going on hiatus, I'm assuming they'll have all new episodes with Lost.
Okay.
That would be my guess. They'll try to link those together. Is I like Worst Week. I don't care what anybody says. I find the show enjoyable.
Which one is Worst Week?
That's the one where it's the Meet the Parents tied with.
I thought that got like mediocre reviews. I don't think people were, I mean, that people weren't hammering it like the Jay Moore show or the kid from Stand By Me.
J. Jerry O'Connell.
Jerry O'Connell.
Yeah, that
show.
Hotel one. Yeah. Yeah, I like the show. I think it's clever. I think it's funny. It's so well acted.
That's three
and it's CBS very
sitcoms you like.
I know.
It's crazy. It's all Monday night, isn't it?
It is Monday night. Yeah, yeah, Monday night's a good night of TV for me.
All right.
So there you go. That's what we got. Let's move on to music.
Wait,
now,
what about, I thought you were going to do new.
What are we looking forward to in 2009 for television?
Couldn't even tell you.
Really?
The Lost, I guess.
Lost is coming back.
The Lost.
The Lost program.
If everything falls the right way, we might see Dollhouse. Who knows? Reaper's coming back. I'm excited for that. I like Reaper.
I didn't get to say my favorite shows of the year. I liked The Office and Lost, by the way. Those two went on my list, and I think 30 Rock is overrated. I hate to say it.
I think this season is a fantastic show.
I haven't liked it as much this season.
I love 30 Rock. I just think it's overrated. I don't laugh as much in that show as I do in Lost. Lost.
Wow.
That knee slapper Lost.
Yeah. How I Met Your Mother? Is that what you were going to say?
That's it. There. No, I was going to say The Office. When The Office isn't funny, I still laugh more.
The one show I was going to say for my favorite new show of the year, it's not on network television. It's on HBO. It's called The Life and Times of Tim. And the animation quality is kind of like Dr. Katz was, if you guys remember that.
Jittery line.
Just shitty animation. But it's a hilarious show. It's just phenomenally good. And it's this weird kind of... Tim is this character who's a lot like Ben Stiller in every movie, where he just does something, means well, but just does the wrong thing, and then just gets
like Worst Week. It sounds like, yeah.
But I don't know what it is about it, but it's really good. And anyone out there that
give it a chance,
yeah, you can watch them all on HBO's website for free, I think, and all that stuff. So
cool.
I forgot to mention Star Wars: Clone Wars. I just love that show. I can't help it. I'm putting it on my list.
I think it's a good show. I agree with you. Star Wars done right in the prequel era. Who would have ever thunk it?
I know. It's crazy.
So let's move on to music. And while we're doing that, I'm gonna be dialing up Al, because as we talked about earlier in the show, he was stranded in his hometown. He wants to participate. He's got a lot of things to talk about.
Get him on the phone.
When it comes to music. And by the way, can you guess Oasis is his favorite band of the year? Can you guess that's going to happen?
Really? This year?
No, I don't think so.
No.
That's the only reason we have him on the phone. So here we go.
Did he make us all CDs again this year?
He did make us CDs.
What the hell?
Awesome.
You guys can talk amongst yourselves.
It's all live, folks. You can hear a phone dialing.
Good time. See, without you to guide us, we don't have anything to say. That's part of the problem.
And I get crap for being talking.
Yeah.
Okay, so Al's phone.
Shane's done.
What do I hit to
dialing the rotary?
What?
Oh, here we go. Dialing.
Just drop it in the cradle.
Better dialing music. Let's see if Al picks
high-tech
up.
High tech here.
Here we go. Cranked up.
It is
exciting.
Isn't it?
Phone ringing.
So I was in the ghetto.
Hello.
Is this Al?
This is Al.
Hello, Al. This is Shane.
Hi, Shane.
We used to do a podcast together from time
Shane
to time.
From what?
Say again?
Shane from what?
From the Scope Show.
Oh, from the Scope Show.
You're on the air right
You're
now.
You're on the air, Al. Don't swear. Wow. Keep it clean.
I'll try.
Swear all you want.
So guess what? We have just jumped into our top music of 2008. We thought there's only one guy who we need to talk to, and that would be Al, and that's you. So so what are you going to talk about? What are your tops? What are your lows? What do people need to listen to really encompass the grandeur and excitement of the year 2008?
I was going to just talk about Oasis. Well, no. I don't know. This year was nothing really jumped out at me. Like a lot, it was kind of it was the year of everybody who had a lot more success in different decades decided to put out an album, and
they did.
Do you agree that it was the year of beard rock?
Of what beard rock?
Beard rock. People with beards.
And not even rock necessarily.
Exactly. Crying.
Beard and folky. And
when the Indigo Girls got into the beard rock thing, I was done.
Yeah, I kind of agree. You probably can't even hear me, Al, but I'm going to make a comment anyway. Sound Opinions did their top 10 albums of the year, and it was a lot of mopey, quiet. It wasn't even rocking, and I was really disappointed.
Did you hear that, Al?
About the top 10s and bearded bands, was it not a lot of rock?
Essentially.
I checked out Metacritic, and their page and all their lists, and a lot of folky, and I noticed I compiled my list, and I realized it was a lot of beards and folky stuff. I saw a lot of people who enjoyed like Fleet Fox
seems
like
to be a popular band this year for these lists.
Von Iver,
yeah,
or whatever, however you pronounce that.
Von Iver,
yeah.
Yep.
I'm tired of hearing about the cabin in northern Wisconsin.
Yeah, well, that's because we live close to northern Wisconsin, so we probably even hear it a little more.
Those bastards. So, Al, tell us, what is your favorite album of the year?
I don't know.
Oh, come on, Al. You're supposed to be prepared.
Way to build it up.
Don't you have a list?
No, what? And that was kind of one of my talking points, was I don't listen to a whole lot of albums anymore. I think we've discussed this before.
Do you have a band of the year?
A band of the year. There we go. Adam is just shaking and shimmying.
Maybe a favorite instrument.
He's versatile.
Yeah. My favorite instrument would be the beard. No.
How do you play that beard?
Yeah.
Six-string beard.
I would say the most interesting and compelling album this year, and you guys reviewed it, was the Kings of Leon album. And I don't care if people call it a sellout album or not, it was very good.
I'm torn between that and Kanye's 808s and Heartbreak.
Yeah, I gotta agree with you all. That album made my top three of the year, right up there. Very, very good.
And of course, I liked the Coldplay album extremely more than you guys did. So,
I like parts of it.
That would be Pussy. That would probably be my number two or my 1A or 1B of the year.
I like it.
Besides that. So yeah, my kind of go back to my talking point about old bands or bands who were more popular in a different decade doing better. What was your guys' favorite album or band that kind of made a pseudo comeback or get back to basics album? Since you guys reviewed a lot of those, the GNRs, and I'm trying to think who else you guys reviewed this year that were kind of in that realm. You did the R.E.M. album, or...
Oh, yeah, we did do R.E.M.
Yeah, I don't know if
like
there was...
Your Walmart album by AC/DC.
We never reviewed that, but...
Brett Michaels. The Brett Michaels album.
Very nice. Yeah, I think out of all of those albums you talked about, for me, the R.E.M. album probably came closest to reconnecting with some their spirit of previous decades, really, what they've done. But I don't think the album on a whole is something I would listen to, but I really liked a few tracks off of that. So yeah. If I had to give it to anybody, it would be R.E.M.
Yeah, I would agree. That was probably my favorite, and I think we can all agree that our least favorite of those bands would probably be The Verve.
Oh, yeah, that was right. A terrible album. Yeah.
I forgot that even happened.
Yeah, that's how bad it was.
You're probably for the best.
I was really upset because I heard someone talking about... It was someone's list, and I'm not going to exactly mention where it came from, but the person said this album, she put The Verve on her top 10, and she claimed that it was already on her top 10 before it was released because she was so excited that they were back together, and I just wanted to throw up when she said that.
Well, girls should not be writing music. That's what that's.
And Adam said the same thing about the New Kids album. So.
Well, yeah, but who was right in that one?
Me. I think you probably were more right than this broad, would be my guess.
Yeah.
Everybody's here is playing with microphone stand parts except
pew,
me.
Pew.
Jared shooting a gun
at
me.
It's
Adams.
A gun now.
You're missing out, Al. It's quite exciting.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I did have your guys' end of the year gifts with with the annual number one song by The Shins on it.
Awesome.
But
very nice.
I'll have to get it to you guys later.
So what is your number one song of the year, Al? Let's get to that.
I would say it was probably Sex on Fire by Kings of Leon was my favorite song.
That's a very good song.
I think I'm going to pick Human by The Killers.
It was probably between two or three or four or five songs that I liked probably equally, so I kind of just gave it to Kings of Leon because of how strong the whole album was. I liked Lost Coastlines by Okkervil River. I don't know. I'm guessing they have beards, or they sound like people with beards.
They sound like bearded men.
They should have them. That's all that matters.
Yeah.
You can hear the beats.
I liked this track on the new Raconteurs album, Hold Up, which kind of sounds like a remake of The Clash's I Fought the Law, which was very good. And I liked Strawberry Swing by Coldplay. I liked Made Some States. What's that? My Only Offer. So probably those five.
Got Al. And, I like almost every one of those songs are on my list independently.
Oxford Comma by Vampire Weekend.
I picked M79 off of that album myself.
I didn't make a list.
Yeah, well, I'll get you guys that list, or maybe
we should post something
over to you guys and post it.
Yeah, we'll post something on the internet because that's what lists are made for, posting on the internet.
Yeah,
darn right.
I want people to tell me,
those are good things that get links back to us. Or
and then fill in the blank if it's bearded. That would be
something. Definitely qualify if it's bearded or not.
No, GAY.
Well, you know, we were talking about listening to albums, and you know, we've talked about this band before. There's only one album that I've listened to from top to bottom many, many times, and that's the Girl Talk album.
Yep.
Feed the Animals. So that's like my de facto, my default, if you will, album of the year, because the rest, you know, I love Kings of Leon's album. I loved Vampire Weekend. I even like the new Fall Out Boy album, which I don't know what that says about me, but I like it quite a bit, actually. But I wouldn't listen to any of those things on my iPod straight through. Once I start listening to Girl Talk, I go all the way through every single time. So for me, that's my album of the year.
It's like a party in your head.
It is a party in my head.
I kind of have to see how I feel test of time-wise with that album to know how I really feel about it. But I do enjoy listening to it, and I enjoy listening to it with friends. So, but I don't listen to it by myself.
No.
A couple weeks ago, I was in Kentucky, and I had a rental car that did not have satellite radio or an auxiliary port to plug my iPod into, and the only CD I had was Feed the Animals, and I listened to it probably 9 times.
Wow.
And how did that work for you?
It held out. And so
that's good.
You just start
dissecting the layers in your head.
Yes. You definitely start to. You know what? For most of the year, that was the only album I could listen to all the way through. It's starting now to also be at least 90% the new TV on the radio album.
Oh, really? You're coming around on that one, huh?
I liked Return to Cookie Mountain, or at least half of it. And so I don't know why it took me just forever to even just start listening to the science. I like it. Even the songs I'm not like that, you know, high on, I can listen to and enjoy. So
I might have to give that one a try.
It's a nice album, especially if you liked the some of the more exciting, I'd say, songs on Return to Cookie Mountain.
So, Jared, you said you didn't have a favorite album of the year, but do you have any songs for you that stand out that you want to tell our listeners about?
I like both Human and Spaceman by Killers. There's a good 1-2 punch. The other 1-2 punch, the two from Kings of Leon, Sex on Fire, and... Mm-hmm.
Use Somebody is the other one, yep. Which I love that song.
I like a couple songs off of Kanye's album. I can't think of the names, though.
Paranoid?
Love Lockdown or whatever?
Yeah.
I think that song kicks ass.
Paranoid.
What album is that?
808.
The new Kanye West album, Mal.
Yeah. Okay. Yep.
When did Foo Fighters come out? Was that this year?
That was last year.
Damn it.
Late last year. Anything else on there that
Nothing that comes to mind immediately.
I liked a few songs. I liked a few songs off the Black Kids album, but I like "I'm Making Eyes at You."
Yeah.
Al mentioned "Strawberry Swing." I also liked "America's Sweethearts" by Fall Out Boy, and I liked the song "Falling Down" by Oasis. Al,
that's in my top 20 somewhere.
There we go. Go ahead.
You got the Chemical Brothers remix of that?
I don't.
Off of iTunes.
I do not, sir.
Not as good, but you. Not as good in my opinion, but...
But I would probably like it.
Yeah. No, I think you'd really enjoy it since you're a Chemical Brothers pimp.
I would, I think.
Speaking of remixes, they're in my hours upon hours of not sleeping last night,
yes.
I found an excellent Sex on Fire remix.
Ooh.
On Hype Machine. So
go to Hype Machine.
It's on, yeah.
When does that, Adam, you listen to remixes?
Yeah.
When did you start that?
When the regular songs weren't good enough for him.
I don't know.
When he moved to that extra level of elitism.
Yes.
Oh, I thought that was totally new information to me that you didn't.
No, he's been talking about it here and there.
I'm kidding. That's being sarcastic.
Oh, right.
It doesn't come over the phone.
Yeah. I think that's all that black ice that you're dealing with.
It's
covering that up. So I've got one last talking point here for music, and then we're going to wrap this son of a bitch up. Any of you guys have any songs that you're embarrassed to like? You should be embarrassed to like, but you're not for 2008. Because I've got 3 songs on my list. Anything that's maybe off of KDWB or one of those other top 40 stations that's just a bunch of crap. But
I really like both of those Katy Perry songs.
So Adam's high on Katy Perry,
possibly T.I.'s "That Anything You Want."
That is not embarrassing.
Really?
That is a great song.
Okay. I didn't understand T.I.'s performance on SNL. Yeah. I just didn't get, at least maybe the second song, I didn't get it. And I didn't think the live version of that song had the swing of the original, but... yeah.
Once again, there's a discotheque remix of that on Hype Machine, and it is fantastic.
And Al, any songs out there that you're embarrassed to listen to, or is your taste in music so perfect that that's impossible to happen?
I'm not sure if I'm supposed to be embarrassed about this, but or not, or if it is cool. I like Let It Rock by Rudolph and Lil Wayne, that kind of jock rock.
Okay, sure.
You know what song I'm talking about?
I believe so, yes. Lil Wayne, hot.
Dirty face, hide behind your collar, something like that.
Yeah, it's like he's right here, right now.
Did Superman come out last year? The Soulja Boy song?
I don't know.
Yeah, that was last year. Okay. That'd have been last year.
My list, I have Forever by Chris Brown. That has a
mic. Mraz, don't know. You love?
No, I don't like that song. Forever has Chris Brown. It's kind of a, I don't know, sort of a ethereal dance song. I like Please Don't Stop the Music by Rihanna, which is a Michael Jackson sample. And then I like 4 Minutes by Madonna. I can't help it. I think that was a good song.
Don't know it.
Justin Timberlake's in it.
Hmm. I just have to listen to radio to actually hear it.
I understand that.
There's actually a couple embarrassingly good songs on that Madonna album, now that I think about it.
Hard Candy.
Yes.
So there we go, Al. I think we've covered music. I think we've covered the year 2008. One last thing. You guys looking forward to any music in 2009? I've got two albums.
Something in 4/4, probably.
Both U2 and Green Day, hopefully. U2's album hits in March, drops in March. Green Day, they're working on something. Hopefully it will be a winner. Go ahead, Al.
Two comments, then I'll hang up.
Okay, you'll hang up and listen?
When? Yeah. I'll hang up and download it. When is Girl Talk Speed the Animals going to be out on Rock Band? That'd be pretty impressive if you guys could perform that.
I think that would be very difficult to do.
Yeah, no kidding.
For a number of different reasons. But I would love it. I would take the challenge.
And have you guys discussed TV yet? Is that next?
We've done TV. Do you have a TV comment?
You guys, the shame on you for not one of you guys being familiar with The Wire. Because I was going to talk about that.
I'm not current. I've watched.
You guys weren't able to do that.
I watched season 1 and 2, but I'm not current on it.
Well, we're bad. Maybe that needs to be a New Year's resolution. Start watching The Wire.
I would say you need to even watch it twice, because I'm on round 2, and it's still as good or better.
There we go.
Okay.
Well, Al, thank you very much. Your contributions are noted. You might have done enough to come back on the show another time.
Yeah. And, yeah.
All right, later. Drive safely.
Happy New Year.
Thank you. Happy New Year to you. So that wraps up 2008, guys. We've got a lot more show left, so let's take a quick break with some music, and then we'll come back with Under the Scope.
It's time to bust a move with Scope Sounds, the Scope Song of the Week. Drop that beat, homie.
Yeah, from the Fump at thefump.com. This is Devo Spice with Lean Christmas.
Hey, this is Christmas. I hope we don't miss this. My kids have half a Walmart on their wish list. But I'm flat broke, so I scrape and I scrounge all around. Hey, now, found a quarter in the couch.
All right, book of matches for mommy.
Things are pretty lean this year, and I fear that there may be a real lack of holiday cheer unless I come into some money, like if I won the lottery or joined a blood bank and dug into an artery. Cause right now I just haven't got a dime, out of work, out of money, and I'm running out of time, and I don't know what to do, man. Haven't got a plan. The way it's going, our house will be as festive as Iran. Most people shop at Toys R Us or at the mall. I'm at the dollar store and can't afford nothing at all. I dig deep into my pocket to see what I can find. Excuse me, what can I get for 2 buttons and a piece of twine? Hey, there's a toy car with some dents and only 3 wheels, but it's marked down to 10 cents. Now if only I had that much money, I'd be set. Guess it's time to raid the fountain to see what I can get. Hey, this is Christmas, I hope we don't miss this. My kids have half a Walmart on their wish list, but I'm flat broke, so I scrape and I scrounge all around. Hey, now found a dime in the couch.
Cool. Now I can get my daughter that gumball she's been wanting.
Maybe this won't be so bad after all. I just need to get creative when I deck the halls. Like instead of a tree, I'll use that broom over there and hang some pantyhose by the chimney with care. Outdoor decorations won't be hard. I'll tie a branch on my dog and make him stand in the yard.
Poison ivy works as well as mistletoe can. And for dinner, we're gonna have a big old ham sandwich that will have to split five ways. And it's gonna have to last for a couple of days. And the trimmings, yeah, we're gonna have all of them. Popcorn balls, potato chips, and M&M's. I can't afford eggnog or any other perk, but I found a little three-month-old milk that ought to work. And I think I still have a fruitcake from last year around here somewhere. Merry Christmas, dear! Hey, this is Christmas, I hope we don't miss this. My kids have half a Walmart on their wish list, but I'm flat broke, so I scrape and I scrounge all around. Hey now, found a nickel in the couch. This is going right to Grandma and Grandpa. I'll tell them to go to the casino and play the nickel slots. Maybe they'll win a dollar. But then my kid comes to me with a list, and I think that there's no way in hell I can afford any of this. I say, I'm sorry, but I'm broke, there's no way that I can swing it. And she says, that's okay, Daddy, Santa Claus will bring it. And I feel my confidence rebound, and know there's no way in hell I'm gonna let my kids down. Cause children and family are what it's all about. And besides, what's one more mortgage on the house? Paperwork filed, rates locked in, 47 signatures, later I begin. When I'm done shopping, I'll be paying an amount for around 30 years, so I better make it count. For the girl, a life-size walking dollhouse with a robot mate and a butler named Klaus. For the boy, I'll get him a race car bed, one that actually drives and has cool tire tread. For the baby, I'll get him this big pneumatic type swing thing with toys, the neglect-o-matic. And the wife, what woman could ask for anymore? She likes shoes so much, now she owns the damn store. For me, maybe I can finally get that private jet. Nah, maybe I'll just get a vet. I'm up to my pancreas in debt, but hey, what can I say? It's the American way. Hey, this is Christmas, I hope we don't miss this. My kids have half a Walmart on their wish list, but I'm flat broke, so I scrape and I scrounge all around. Hey now, found a penny in the couch. Okay, I can put this on the train tracks and let a train run over it and give it to my son. Then he can have his own mutant, squished portrait of Lincoln or something.
Look out for the laser!
It's the scope.
Under the scope.
And we are back with Under the Scope, a truncated version of Under the Scope. But guess what? The one thing we're not shortening is the news. Adam was just telling me off the air that he's put a lot of hard work into this.
Yeah!
I did decide to truncate the news.
Yeah! Yeah.
All right.
Let's do it.
Yeah!
All right. First off, the Recording Institute Association of America. Maybe that's what the RIAA
what does that
stands
stand for?
For? My phone's ringing.
Uh-oh, that's them correcting you right now.
I don't know
now.
This phone number. Should I answer it? Make no sense.
No
put them on the line.
No, that's all right. Anyway, the RIAA has decided to stop suing individuals when they are caught downloading or sharing music.
But what are they going to do instead?
Instead, they have decided to start working with ISPs. And so far, it sounds like they'll, you know, kind of be the people that notify ISPs, kind of like the MPAA does right now, mm-hmm. and various networks when they see that someone's sharing their content. So they'll notify, then the ISP will, you know, whatever their process is, ISP probably sends a letter saying, you know, you've been caught.
Stop it.
Stop. If you don't, we'll implement bandwidth caps or cut your service off. So there you go.
So what does that mean for people that may illegally download an album or two here and there?
Probably nothing, because they're not sharing, in all likelihood.
Okay. Adam, check it.
Although technically, if you use BitTorrent, you are sharing as you download.
Well, you shouldn't be using BitTorrent then.
What should you be using?
Other means of accessing content on the internet.
Okay, we'll talk about that later. Okay. Very nice. So what else is happening, Adam? Speaking of news,
Speaking of news.
Yes. News.
Apple has announced that the upcoming San Francisco Macworld conference
will
be the last one that Apple directly participates
I'm
in.
I'm very sad about this.
And
there's more.
Steve Jobs will not deliver a keynote, doing nothing to cool the flames of discussion about him dying or being dead or maybe already being a zombie. It's unknown. At
some
point,
he's just, you know, probably wants to retire.
Yes.
he's made a ton of money.
What do you think about this, Jared? You're one of the biggest Mac apologists out there.
Mac apologists? Really? Wow.
He always says, I'm sorry that my Mac has stopped recording the show this week again.
It's done it three times now. It's pissing me off. I'm sad. I don't think Apple needs to participate in Macworld. I see why they are pulling out. I mean, it's like, it's got to hurt their sales because people are so trained now to think that Apple's going to release new products the second week of January. So why would they buy anything before Christmas? And this gives them the freedom to not be tied to any particular conference schedule to make their big announcements. They can have their little events whenever they want them, and they can control when they release new products. So I'm saddened by it because one of my three big geek trip dreams that I always thought I would take at some point in my life was go to the Macworld Expo and to witness a Steve Note in person. And now that won't happen.
And the other two were traveling to the set of Golden Girls.
Yes.
And what's the third one?
Third one is actually journeying to the center of the earth. No, actually they were...
With Brendan Fraser?
Go to San Diego Comic-Con and go to Dragon Con in Atlanta. And actually Dragon Con will probably happen. I don't know. San Diego Comic-Con I'd like to go to sometime, you know, with some buds.
You may be interested.
A fun trip to do.
You may be interested to know that in 1995 and 1996, I traveled to Boston, Massachusetts, to attend both of the Macworld Expos in those 2 years.
Awesome.
Steve Jobs did not. Oh, sorry. For the first year, he was not an employee at Apple the time. Second year was the dramatic Bill Gates giant face appearing behind
him. Right, we're investing,
him.
We're saving Apple's ass.
Yes.
Did you guys see the Simpsons episode where they had Mapple products?
Nope.
No.
TiVo's got it saved for
me. It's a great episode, actually. At least that bit is pretty funny, yeah.
They made a big deal of it in Entertainment Weekly
It was pretty clever, actually.
I don't know why they made a big deal, though.
It was a little bit more of an attack on Apple, I thought, than sort
really?
Of. Really? Yeah, I thought it was, you know, it was like, wow, this is, they're kind of calling them out for things that people...
Like Sorny.
Forgive and forget.
Maybe. I don't know. So I think it's a good move for Apple. They don't really need to participate. I mean, it's going to suck because the Macworld Expo will probably wither and die now.
Yeah, it will go away.
I mean, Adobe's not participating. That's the other big vendor that pulled out. So
we've kind of seen this happen, you know, over the past, I don't know how long.
Yeah, yeah.
With them, they've you know they.
Well,
they
we've seen it
own...
at trade shows in general.
Well, sure, but I mean, they have WWDC, which is theirs. They have Apple Expo Paris, which is theirs. But actually, I guess that's not technically theirs.
They'll probably pull out of that one next.
Yeah,
just a lot of pulling out.
It's being a big vendor and participating in a trade show is so stinking expensive for the return you get.
Yeah,
that it just doesn't make sense to participate anymore.
Do it on your own time and your own dime.
Yeah. But what about the thing about Steve Jobs not doing the keynote? What does that tell us?
Well, I mean, it could be health related, but it could be that, you know, he just needs at some point you need to pass the torch to someone.
This is kind of the beginning of Apple changing, and they're going to do it slowly and gradually and try to dull the blow that will definitely come to their stock.
Do you think not having a Steve note is a slow and gradual way of doing that? I mean, that's things that
I think it's sometimes you have to shock the system.
All right.
At some point, it's for so long, Steve Jobs has been the heart and soul of that company, and people have looked to him as basically the savior of Apple. And
in a way, he was.
But I think Apple has gotten to a point now where they're not in danger anymore. They've diversified themselves out to not only their computers and software, but they're also iPods. And their business is strong, and they have a ton of money in the bank. And so it's probably time to start moving away from Steve Jobs and finding the next person who's going to run the show day to day.
Gil Emilio, right?
Bring him back.
Yeah,
second chance.
He was the winner.
What else is in the news stack there?
An evolutionary geneticist from the University of Montreal, together with researchers from the French cities of Lyon and Montpellier, published a groundbreaking study that characterizes the common ancestor of all life on Earth, or LUCA, the last universal common ancestor.
Yeah, I didn't even hear
this.
This
is an organism that they think that 3.8 billion years ago existed, and all life on Earth now it can be traced back to it. Everything. So we're related to this, just like sharks are related to this.
What is it? What kind of organism is it?
If you look at the funny picture that they have on the website, it looks kind of like...
I think you should draw a picture and I can photograph it, include it with
the
post.
Could you give us a sketch?
Kind of looks like a spongy thing in the ocean.
All right. There you have it.
So all life is descended from the spongy thing
from
in the
SpongeBob
ocean.
SpongeBob SquarePants.
I mean, or, awesome. as Mandy put it, if you believe the fake science, yes.
Wow. Science ruining another thing for us.
Crazy.
It's generally believed that LUCA was a heat-loving, hypothermalific organism, a bit like one of those weird organisms living in the hot vents along the continental ridges deep within the ocean today. However, our data suggests the Luca was actually sensitive to warmer temperatures and lived in climates below 50 degrees.
My data says that Luca lived on the second floor.
Well, her name was Luca.
Wow.
Thank you. I thought that was good. I thought it was real good. I got nothing.
You got crickets, Shane.
Lives upstairs from you.
The crickets that have survived the cold by living in my house are now playing a song for you.
There's a funny story.
Just don't ask Luca what it was.
On Catacomba, whatever that one video game website is, about a student having a 360 stolen from his dorm and using the wireless controller to help to try to figure out who had stolen it.
Ooh.
You know, because it's got the controller's got a 30-foot radius, mm-hmm. right? So he walked around his building trying, you know, and it would key in on it. So he still had the wireless controller.
Yeah.
So whoever stole it only stole the console and any of the cables. So he walked around his dorm building trying to find out, you know, like he would walk, and if it triggered, great. He'd walk the other way. If it didn't, then he'd kind of hone in on it. You know,
wow.
Like playing hot and cold.
Sure, sure.
And
that's very clever.
He contacted the police or the you know, the university, you know, campus cops, and they confiscated it back.
Wow.
Yeah, I like that story.
So who was it? Do we know who stole it? Some jerk off?
They didn't name him in the story, but
I would like to he gets his head beat in or something.
That's wow. Awesome.
That would have been the perfect ending to that story.
Violent. Mm-hmm. I wasn't going to. Yeah, I guess I was. That then you're terribly overly fatalistic interpretation of that then leads into this great story about Daniel Petrick, who killed his mother, shot his father because they took Halo 3 away from him.
Wow.
Oh.
Perfectly justified.
Yeah.
I don't have any more on that story. That's
yeah, thanks for lightening the mood.
Last story.
I hope this
Will
is an uplifting
Smith,
one.
Well, I mean, it is if you're a Scientologist. Will Smith gave
$122,500
to Scientology last year.
Yeah, he never claims he's a part of it. He hangs out with Tom Cruise. That's only one reason why I'm not as big a fan of Will Smith, because I think that he is a closet Scientologist and doesn't say anything about it because it would hurt his career. Thank you. Thank you.
I really have no opinion on
this. He gave $1.3 million overall to charitable causes last year.
So 10% of his charitable...
10% went to Scientology.
I just crunched numbers right there in my head, Jared.
That's it. That's it for news.
Wow.
That is it for news, Jared.
Yeah.
Since we're not doing reviews, because we only review the entire year...
Right.
That leaves what? News.
Coming soon.
Coming soon. Oh. Thank you, Adam.
We just did news.
Oh, that's right.
Well, supposedly. All right.
What do we got?
Music. Wow. There's not much coming soon either. I like your point over the break where you said that it's because the economy's gone.
There's no more music. That's all fun. Things are going away now.
Really? Nothing but labor.
Yep. Road building.
By the way, anyone that was curious to know, the phone number that called me was UPS's automated line that will call you when they need an adult signature when they're delivering something. But it's Sunday, so I'm really confused about that.
Are you getting a delivery of something?
Oh, yeah.
Sex toys?
Sex toys.
Xbox? Oh, yeah. What are you getting?
Did you get an Xbox?
I have no idea what I'm getting. I ordered a bunch of stuff, though. So we'll see what it is.
Potentially, where'd you order from?
I ordered Mandy's parents' stuff from wine.com because on Cyber Monday they had penny shipping, and usually it's relatively expensive shipping.
Yeah, for wine, I would imagine.
It still hasn't arrived? Wow.
No, well, you can tell what day you want it to ship or show up, and since she's going out to Fargo tonight, I wanted...
Are you going out to Fargo?
No, I'm not going out until Wednesday. That's the other thing about our fun trip last night. Was that she has to leave tonight for Fargo.
Ugh.
Yeah. I also got them a set of those frozen steaks that they sell on TV.
A lot of food. Fatten them up.
Yes.
Steaks and wine.
Steaks and wine.
It's a good meal.
And then got something for Jess coming. And
what is it?
Just a nice pillow for the couch with a dachshund and a lampshade. Whatever that those
made of dachshund?
Called. Those lampshade things.
Wow. No, it's a dachshund pillow.
Yeah,
and there's at least
shaped
one more
like a
thing
hot dog bun
that I can't think of. Anyway,
nice
music. Not much coming out. Sorry about that. December 23rd, Fear of the State.
Yeah, I don't even know what it is. It's sounded the most interesting of the bunch.
And then December 30th, interesting band, Nothing of Note. What are they saying?
Nothing you'd ever heard of.
All right.
Okay.
Movies. December 25th, Christmas Day.
Yeah.
There's a movie coming out with two Jews.
two Jews.
First.
So you got to see it twice.
Wow.
First, Bedtime Stories comes out. That's the Adam Sandler movie.
Yeah.
That's clearly aping the Jon Favreau directed movie that came out a couple years ago.
Zarathustra?
Zarathustra, yes. Where Adam Sandler tells bedtime stories and they come true or something.
Mix of Zarathuria and...
Jumanji.
And Jumanji and then the Princess...
Jumanji!
The Princess Bride.
With a hint of Goodfellas.
Yep, that's the change.
Get your shine box.
And a little bit of You Can't Do This on Television.
I like that. I don't know. Thank you.
The Curious Case of Benjamin Button. That's the one with Brad Pitt where he ages backwards.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I don't know what that means.
Means he's born an old man.
Means he's like, what's Mork's son?
Mirth. He's like Mirth.
He's Jonathan
Winters.
He's
born an old man that gets younger?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I was under the impression he aged and then reversed it, but he's...
No, he's born a wrinkly old baby.
Gross.
Yeah.
Poor mom.
That's why the mom abandoned him.
Last Chance Harvey with Dustin Hoffman, where Harvey discovers it's never too late to fall in love. There's Marley and Me. I'm sure everyone's seen the ads for this all over the place.
If you're a dog person, go see it.
Here's the thing.
That's what
this looks terrible.
Here's the thing. Okay. You've seen the ads.
Yes.
Yes, I have.
Seems like a happy Beethoven-y type movie.
Yes,
right?
I've seen the ads.
Do you know what this movie's about?
No. Not a fucking clue.
Can I tell you? I'm going to ruin it. I'm just spoiler alert,
Jared. Spoiler alert.
The dog dies at the end.
Oh, okay. Shit.
And like... It's like this huge heartbreaking...
Merry Christmas.
Yeah, there we go. Dead dog.
Here's the thing. No one that is going to see the movie is being prepared for this in any sort of way.
Well, then the shock will be even more.
It's going to be a big deal.
I find it a little disturbing. The Spirit really comes out on December 25th?
Yeah.
So
there's six movies opening that day?
Valkyrie also comes out that day.
Mm-hmm. Holy shit.
But so is the Spirit just kind of being dumped here? Because
I think the Spirit's going to be a disaster.
I think it's
going
to fail utterly. Everything I've seen looks ridiculously stupid.
Huh.
In Valkyrie, Tom Cruise does not speak with an accent. Everybody else does.
I want to see Valkyrie. But I'm a
Me too. I like
buff.
That story. Yeah. History Channel's had a few
it's a fascinating
things
story.
On the whole operation. And
right now it's recently. Jesus and Hitler. That's all it is on History
You know what? What a smart move by him. Because who is hated worse than Scientologists right now? Nazis.
Nazis. Yeah. So Nazis.
Play the guy that's going to kill the king of the Nazis.
Wasn't this film bump from last year, though? Because I think
it's been pushed
this one's been in
the
can
schedule.
For a while.
Was it? Because the only thing I remember last year was how the German government didn't want them filming this in Germany for whatever reason. Like, it's illegal to have swastikas.
I just feel like it's been delayed for a while.
It's been delayed. Jared is correct.
Thank you.
January 2nd, the Nothing of Note soundtrack must be coming out.
There we go.
Awesome.
DVD.
Is that by Hans Zimmer?
Oopsie.
Yes, we would hope. DVD, December 21st through 23rd. Death Race, Hamlet 2, The Women, Voltron Air Team. What's that?
Oh.
That's the vehicle, the first season of the vehicle Voltron.
What's the vehicle?
I thought that was out.
Oh, they're not lions.
It's not out yet. It was supposed to be, but not lions.
And
but.
Burn After Reading, which I downloaded but did not get a chance to watch on the airplane because I was passed out the whole time.
Mm-hmm. Fun.
Religious came out recently, too.
I'd like to see that.
And I watched it at the hotel.
And?
Really liked it. Bill Maher is, I don't know what's going on here. Bill Maher is a
douche.
Bump on the table.
Yeah, probably.
Look at there. Feedback. Hot mic.
What the fuck?
What is going on?
We're being tapped. Oh, I see.
Is it you?
No, the little snake was touching the.
Welcome to live podcasting.
Snake. That
folks.
Is live, everybody. They say we sound good.
Yeah, Bill Maher is a terrible person to. To entrust, questioning these things.
Yeah.
Because I appreciate what he's trying to do. He doesn't go into it saying, I don't believe in X. He just says, I would like to ask people that do believe these questions because they're questions that I have. And that's fine. But he's such a condescending prick that there's no way that, like, you can then take that and be like, oh, he doesn't have an agenda. He's really just asking.
He's got an agenda.
Right. That being said, considering where I already am on that argument, I thought it was hilarious. Mandy, who's... who I watched it with, who's kind of she's what would you call her? She's religious to the extent of she believes
she can tolerate
your beliefs. These things, but she's not like very strict about it, and like she didn't even know about a lot of the things like the rapture and stuff. So I don't really trust her.
Yeah, don't take her word for anything.
So she kind of liked it too, but she was on the more he's just so annoying and a dick. So.
Well, there we go.
It was actually really funny, though, I think. And I think it would be for anyone just because of the ridiculous people he interviews.
Yep.
December 30th, Nip Tuck Season 5, and the Comedy Central roast of Bob Saget minus Artie Lang, who was on heroin at the time.
Yes.
Thank you.
Good times.
Video games. Rock Band 2 for the Wii.
Why can't they get that out before Christmas?
It is. It December 21st. Oh,
yeah, that one. I don't think the PS2 one is going to make it, but I think they said the Wii is going to make it.
Why is that? Is there a reason for this?
Probably building the instruments would be my guess.
Hmm. Okay.
And the week after Christmas?
Nothing.
The Secret Files, Tunguska.
Okay. Awesome.
There we have it. So a huge week for pop culture things. Huge 2 weeks. Very exciting. Is that it, Adam?
That's it.
That's it. So, Jared.
Yeah?
Let's wrap it up.
Under the scope.
Here we go. The fun, upbeat tempo music that just pushes Jared to extremes.
To extremes?
To extremes. He rocks a mic like a vandal.
Well, so as you know, this is the portion of the show where we read...
Gary Sharon?
We read our listener comments. We've got a few this time.
We've got a huge amount,
Adam. I almost didn't have them. I had copied all of our email comments into my usual scope. Google Docs document that I used to organize and could not access Google Docs.
What's going on with Google? Too cold to access it?
I think it was too cold. Exactly. But I got it saved. We're good here. So now we've got some comments. First one goes, hey guys, I need to apologize for my lack of listenership for the last year and change. I somehow got turned on to a show called The Scoop, and I thought you guys had changed your subject matter to center on the ice cream business. I was really confused, but oddly intrigued by their talk about chilled dairy products.
Yes.
Just want to let you guys know that you are still good enough to make time move by when I drudge through my daily grind. Thanks for helping me to not fall asleep at the wheel. Signed, number one fan, Sean.
There's no better compliment than being told you help move time.
We do move time. It's awesome.
Thank you, Sean.
Keith F. writes,
yeah.
Keep writing.
Fuck you guys that don't help time move.
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah, we're making time anything. Move.
Y'all ain't working hard enough.
Thank you, Street Cowboy Jared.
That's me. Keith F. writes, Shane, Adam, Jared, I'm truly enjoying your podcast, and since you always seem to ask for listener feedback comments, here you go. Since you seem to like playing games, how would a pre-newlywed game, similar to the newlywed games as seen on TV, Adam and Jared could both answer questions and then call their respective girlfriends? I assume that hilarity would ensue.
That
would be something I would I would find acceptable.
It would be. It would be interesting because the time lapse. You know, you've been with Mandy longer than I've been with Angela. So
I don't know anything about Mandy though.
Okay, well it could be interesting.
He didn't even know she didn't know about the rapture.
I think we should put that on the schedule. Keith F, you get credit for suggesting
Keith
it.
F, unless
you get a free ticket to the Scoop Show.
You do a free ticket
and the Scoop Show. My Sunday afternoon weekly
this Sunday spelled both ways.
Yes. you reviewing Ben and Jerry's flavor this week?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
He's gonna have a whole
as
special on gelato.
Do. You know how we do it.
Gelato. He gets into this fancy European ice cream. And finally, Kelly writes,
there's our April Fool's gig right there.
Wow.
We've got a whole scoop. We're concentrating on ice cream. Hit it.
And finally, Kelly writes, screw you guys. I like Taylor Swift.
Taylor Swift.
And I also have the Ramones and Led Zeppelin on my iPod. Hmm. I bet she said it like Cartman when she wrote it.
Screw you guys. I like Taylor Swift.
Exactly.
Do you think the Ramones get angry that they're on the same iPod?
They might.
Do they have to be sedated?
Well, there's only half of them left, so they're probably not that angry. There's only so much anger they can muster at this point.
Listen here, Kelly. You can like whoever you want to. I came out in support of Rihanna today, and I'm not ashamed, so good for you.
Awesome. You should be, though.
I should be, but I'm not. She's hot. Thank you.
There was also a bunch of back and forth on the blog about the latest episode and some World Series of Pop Culture backlash.
I banned Gary's IP, by the way. So,
oh, did you really?
Yeah. Wow,
tired of that guy.
He seems very up in arms about things. I think he's making controversy where there is no controversy to be had.
And you know what? I usually appreciate that, but you know, it's Gary. So,
Wow, a little fighting here. Maybe we need to have
Gary needs to be in a new play because he needs drama.
Say the drama for your mama.
Yeah.
Scope World Series of Pop Culture, Jared. We're going to do it, by the way.
We are.
Just give us time, people.
2009. It's a really complicated show to put together. I mean, you've got to get a lot of people organized. You've got to write a lot of questions.
You got to get those people here on the same day.
And you hope it's not snowing that day.
2009 Scoop Show Trivia Challenge will be airing January 14th, by the way.
He's already got it figured out.
So it's probably something we want to do in the spring when weather's a little bit more in
conducive.
Our favor.
Yeah.
People aren't as busy.
I like that idea.
Yeah. So if you have any comments, you can write to us at comments@thescopeshow.com.
We love them. Keep sending them.
Yeah, it's awesome. There's also a web form on the website at thescopeshow.com if you just want to fill that out. Call the voicemail line at 646-495-9201, extension 70055. We did have someone else besides the great Luke Ski call.
Oh, really?
I believe it was Kelly. And we just I forgot to pull it. Sorry.
So listen, let's okay, keep going, Jared. I'll tie it into
our Facebook group over at the Facebook if you're in it, and there's topics to discuss there.
Just remember, your employers will probably be checking it.
Yes,
so
make sure you swear a lot.
Yeah.
What about the pledge drive, Jared?
The pledge drive. Well, we haven't gotten any donations, so I'm sad there.
but what about our review drive?
We did put out a request for more reviews in iTunes last show, and we set a goal of 20. And I have to say, we're up to 13, so it's a good start. I have to say thank you to everyone who's taken the time to write your reviews and giving us 5-star ratings in iTunes. It helps a lot. We're really trying to get the word out. And so continue. I know there's a few of you out there who haven't reviewed yet. I'm looking at you.
Adam.
No, not Adam.
Guess what, Adam? Our only 4-star review?
Yeah.
From Gary. Yeah. One of our best friends gives us a 4-star review. So you could do better.
So the March Towards 20 continues in 2009.
The March Towards 20.
But Kanye West says he will not review podcasts on his blog that he posts to about 95 times a day unless they have at least 20 ratings on iTunes.
So we want to be on Kanye's show.
We do. Absolutely.
Well, the scoop show already has been on Kanye's show.
Right. Scoop show is all over the place. A whole new world that's going on right around my...
And I have, and so that's going well. I have one more request for our audience.
Boy, we're asking a lot of them.
With Christmas just around the corner here, I'm going to ask that all of our listeners get one of their friends to listen to the show.
Oh,
we want to grow the audience, and the way we do that is through our audience. You guys are our best resource. So if you can find it in your heart and you can find someone who's accepting of your graciousness, turn them on to the show. Tell them how to subscribe. Give them an episode. Burn it to CD. I don't know. Do whatever you got to do, but get the word out.
We've got some good ones, and recently I've posted some of our best episodes, links to our best episodes, right on our website. The Transformers saga, the Hit the Post saga, and we'll continue to do that from time to time for all of you new listeners, because there's a lot of good stuff in the archives.
Absolutely.
So that's good.
Episode 1, so it's a winner.
Oof.
turning through the newspaper for news was...
Yeah, you can hear the papers turning. That was good stuff.
Oh, how far we've come.
Jared, do you have anything else?
No, that's it.
So I've got some programming notes to everyone.
Program note.
Our next episode will be in... 2 weeks?
2 weeks. Technically, our next one will be our New Year's Eve.
New Year's Eve, we're counting that as a regular one because that's right around. So we got our beloved or beloved New Year's Eve episode this year.
It's never the same format twice.
We're going to do it again. I don't know if Adam's going to be here, but...
No.
Oh.
Maybe we can get you to call in or something.
Can you call in?
I can do that.
What are you going to do New Year's? Are you going to be...
Jess is having her very first party at her house that she owns. So it's a New Year's party, and that's where I'll be.
Maybe we'll get Jess on the phone too, because I like Jess on the phone. Anyway, we're going to do our New Year's Eve. We're going to do our New Year's Eve party, and it's going to mean a lot of revelry, a lot of drinking, a lot of crazy times. Who knows what's going to happen? But speaking of New Year's, if any of you guys are out and about, and you want to call the Scope Hotline while you're drunk.
Yes,
this is the perfect time.
Yes, that number again is 646-495-9201, extension 70055. You don't get a fancy. Greeting or anything, you just get like something, leave your message, beep tone, and then you talk. It's recorded, it drops into the box, and we listen and laugh.
I think we're asking for a lot when we have this 48 digit number when people are calling in drunk, but what the hell?
What you do is store it in your phone, and then it's all out there for you.
Store it in your phone, people. Let's just lock it in.
Everyone has the mobile phone now.
It's going to be a good time. So use your drinking opportunity to call us and make our show a little bit better.
Yes.
Don't forget to leave a message on... Leave a review on iTunes. We've got all sorts of things. And be on the lookout for the Scope Christmas card. We've done one last year. We've got a new one that's going to be popping up right around the holidays. I can't wait for everyone to see it. It's going to be good. So, I want to wish everyone a Merry Christmas.
Yeah.
Not a Happy New Year, because we're going to be here before then. So... thanks for listening. Hope everyone has a safe and exciting holiday weekend. Arrivederci.
Ladies and gentlemen, we find ourselves once again at the end. I hope you've enjoyed our time together. I know I have. Fear not, Scope faithful. Days shall pass as if they were but a moment. And Jared, Adam, and Shane will return with another thrilling episode. Until then, send your comments to comments@thescopeshow.com or leave a voicemail message by dialing...
646-495-9201, extension 70055.
Thanks for listening, faithful fans. This is Tony Partington saying, Annyeong. Tune in next time to another terrific edition of The Scope.
no love.